Alright, so welcome to the first episode of our deep dive into the Gizverse. I want to start right at the beginning, because the origin story here is genuinely strange and kind of wonderful.
It really is. And the key idea to hold on to from the start is that King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard was never a tidy, planned band. It grew out of a loose collective of friends in Melbourne, Victoria, in 2010. No fixed lineup, no master plan.
So how loose are we talking? Like, a few mates jamming in a garage, or something more chaotic than that?
More chaotic. At one point there were as many as 11 people involved. The core that eventually solidified included Stu McKenzie, Joey Walker, Eric Moore, Michael Kavanagh, Cook Craig, Lucas Harwood, and Ambrose Kenny Smith. 7 members in the final early lineup.
11 people. That's less a band and more a small orchestra. And how did the core group even find each other?
McKenzie, Moore, and Walker actually met studying the music industry at RMIT University in Melbourne, so there's this university connection feeding into the underground music scene there. Ambrose Kenny Smith was the last of the eventual 7 to join, coming in during 2011.
Now, the name. King Gizzard and the Lizard Wizard. Someone had to choose that deliberately.
Deliberately absurd is exactly right. The story goes that the name was kept precisely because it was the most nonsensical thing they'd tried. It was treated as a joke during the fluid early period, and it stuck for that reason.
That tracks with the DIY energy. And speaking of DIY, their first releases came out in 2010, right? 2 self-released singles.
Exactly. Sleep/Summer and Hey There/Ants and Bats both came out in 2010. Then in 2011 they put out the EP Willoughby's Beach, which helped establish that early surf punk and psychedelic garage sound. Distorted guitars, reverb-heavy production, real raw energy.
So what pushed them toward recording a full debut album?
By 2012, they had enough momentum. 12 Bars Bruise came out on September 7th, 2012. And here's the part that surprises a lot of people. The earliest surviving footage of the group shows them performing for a college assessment, not a concert. Eric Moore and Michael Kavanagh were sharing a single drum kit.
Wait, sharing one drum kit?
One drum kit. 2 drummers. That footage predates Cook Craig and Ambrose Kenny Smith joining entirely. And 2 of the songs from that session, Ants and Bats and Life is Cool, eventually surfaced on the 2020 archival release, Teenage Gizzard. So that early college performance ended up mattering more than anyone expected.
That's a remarkable paper trail. Now, 2013 is where things get interesting stylistically. They released 2 albums that year, and they couldn't be more different from each other.
Right. Eyes Like the Sky came out in 2013, as a concept record built around a Western narrative, think spoken word, almost a spaghetti Western feel. Then Float Along, Fill Your Lungs came out the same year, and pushed hard in the opposite direction, toward long-form psychedelic composition.
For example, the opening track of Float Along is what, 16 minutes long?
Head On/Pill runs approximately 16 minutes. That track alone signalled something important. This band was not going to stay in the 3-minute garage format. It redefined what their musical boundaries even were, and it built their reputation for long-form experimentation almost overnight.
And all of this was coming out on their own label, Flightless Records.
Flightless was central to their independence from the start. The early records were tied to that label and a genuine do-it-yourself release strategy. That infrastructure is what let them move so fast. By March 7th, 2014, Oddments was out. And later that same year came I'm In Your Mind Fuzz. The takeaway is that the pace was intentional, not accidental.
So in roughly 4 years, they went from a college assessment with a shared drum kit to a 7-member band with their own label, multiple albums, and a reputation for refusing to repeat themselves.
That's the arc. And remember, the foundation of all of it was a DIY ethic, a sprawling lineup, and an immediate refusal to be pinned to a single sound. For anyone listening who's just discovering them, that early period is where the DNA of everything that follows was written.
But as chaotic as those first few years were, nothing could prepare the world for the infinite loop they were about to build. Next time, we look at the album that changed everything.
And that album is one of the most structurally ambitious things in modern rock. We'll get into exactly why.